Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'll continue my tips and tricks on filters and see how far I get in this one. I'll talk more about O-rings and problems you're going to run into with the filters in this podcast and give you some solutions out there for some things you may run into when you're cleaning a filter or when you're having some issues with the filter. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. And I was talking about the air bleeders at the end of the other podcast episode. And if you do run into an air bleeder where it's kind of sucking in air and you can't get it to stop, you can actually, besides the Pentair one, I mentioned the plastic bag trick. If you have a standard, maybe a Jandy one or even a Hayward one, what works really well, and again, this is probably not the best fix for it, but you can find a twig somewhere in the backyard. Hopefully there's trees around you, not somewhere in the middle of Arizona where there's no trees anywhere. But if you can find a twig or a branch and just kind of stick that end in there into the air bleeder and jam it in there, that actually stops the air from being sucked into the filter, and the filter will prime up fine the next day and you won't have that air being sucked in. And so that's one little trick that you can do until you get a new air bleeder put on there. I really recommend carrying pressure gauges and air bleeders for sure on your truck so you can easily swap them out, but sometimes you won't have one, and so putting a twig in there will stop the air from causing any problems with the system at that point. And I know it's not the best solution, but hey, it works, and I've done it before, and it's really effective out there. And speaking of pressure gauges, if you're at a pool and the pressure gauge isn't working, or you think it's not working, first thing I always do is tap it, kind of like Fonzie does in Happy Days when he hits the jukebox or whatever's not working. If you tap it with your finger, sometimes you get that gauge to move, and it'll activate the gauge again. Sometimes the gauge has just gone bad, and nothing you can do to get it working. Simply replacing that pressure gauge usually will get it working. One way to tell if the pool is working fine and the pressure gauge is broken, the pump, of course, will have water being pulled in there. Look at the return lines, you'll see good flow. Then more than likely, the pressure gauge has a problem with it, and replacing that will get it working. It's really important to have a good working pressure gauge for a number of reasons. I guess number one would be to indicate when the filter is dirty, of course. Now, one thing you may notice if you have a larger cartridge filter, let's say you have a 450 square foot four cartridge filter, that pressure gauge isn't going to move very much at all, if at all, when the filters get dirty. I mean, I've gone 6 months with a lot of filters on my pool route where the four cartridge filters will be at 20 PSI, and then 6 months later, it's still at 20 PSI. Nothing's wrong with the gauge. It's just that it has such a large filtration area that it's going to take a lot to get that filter clogged up, I guess, or restricting the PSI to make it go up higher in that filter. And maybe go a year without cleaning it, you're going to definitely see the PSI go up. Or if the cartridges are going bad, you'll see that PSI rise in those filters. But generally, they don't go up much at all until the cartridges start getting old or worn out. And so that's something to keep a note of, is that if you have a four cartridge filter, a larger one, the PSI may not be the best indicator that the filter is dirty. So go off of a 4 or 6 month cleaning cycle on those versus the PSI. But in most cases, of course, with D filters and sand filters, the pressure gauge will indicate when that filter needs to be backwashed or cleaned. And therefore, you definitely need to have a working pressure gauge for that reason. Another reason why you should have a working pressure gauge is if anything ever gets into the return line, which is extremely rare. This has only happened to me on 3 occasions over the course of almost 30 years of being out in the field, where there is something in the return line that stops the flow, causing really high PSI on the filter, which could actually cause that filter to explode like a bomb, and it's extremely dangerous. the first occasion this happened at, they have was at a home where they had an autistic son, and he unfortunately, well, the builder actually did something weird here, but there was a water feature return, and there was a regular return, but the way it was split was weird, and so if you were to turn the water feature off, it would stop all the return going to the pool. And this was really fortunate that I was able to service that account on a Monday, and they actually had a party on Sunday. And so the next day when the pool turned on, I was there. I turned on the pool in the morning, and I saw right away the pressure gauge on this Clean and Clear Plus go up, you know, past 30, 40. It was going towards, you know, once it got past 40, I quickly shut everything off and realized that the return line was deadheaded, and the filter could have exploded if I wasn't there to turn it on. Fortunately, I was there, but that definitely would have exploded that filter tank. Another time was a Stay Right System 3. Ironically, I spent a lot of time talking about that in the last episode. A part from the heater actually broke off and got lodged into the check valve. And so when I turned that one on, you can actually see that black tank bulging like it was going to explode. But since that thing is made to survive a nuclear explosion, basically, or nuclear winter, it just bulged up. And I shut off the pump, and it didn't explode on me. And that's a pretty rare occurrence, but the pressure gauge was an indicator, and of course the filter bulging like that was an indicator that there was something wrong there. And that was going on for a few days there at that pool. What would happen is once it got to that 40 or 50 PSI, the pump would cavitate, and then it wouldn't suck water, and then it would kind of run dry for most of the day. Only when you started it, it would do that because of that blockage in the return line. So fortunately, it wasn't catastrophic there because of the weird blockage caused that pump to cavitate and not prime up after the initial priming, which was good. And then a third occasion was my own fault. I cleaned the filter, cartridge filter out. It was full of pine needles and, cypress tree needles or cypress tree droppings. And I wasn't paying attention, so I took the cartridges out. And then when I put everything back together, I turned on the pump, and I noticed the PSI was going up pretty rapidly, past 20. When it got to 30, 35, I killed the system, and I knew right away there was something wrong. And so I kind of traced the line, and I saw a aquarite salt cell there, and I kind of figured that it was full of these cypress droppings that were in the filter. Sure enough, I unscrewed the salt cell, and the plates of the cell were just blocked by these cypress tree leaves. I guess they're leaves. I don't know what they are. They're not really leaves because it's kind of a weird tree. It's more like a bush than a tree, but they get really big. And so I just turned on the pump with the salt cell detached from it and blew everything out of the line and cleaned it out that way. And then I reattached the salt cell after I turned the pump off, and that was fine. But the pressure gauge definitely is an indicator that there was a problem. And if it wasn't working, that filter could have exploded. So the pressure gauge is actually twofold. It shows you when the pool filter is dirty, and it's a safety mechanism so you don't get killed by the filter exploding when something weird happens and the return line is not flowing. So this is something to keep in mind, to have a working pressure gauge. Now, let me give you a few tips on when you clean the filter, and I'll probably have to go into a separate podcast here as far as tips and tricks of filter cleaning, but I'll give you some general tips here. One thing that I think is the first tip is that the O-rings are not universal. So when you go to the pool store, or if you go to your supplier and you're getting an O-ring for a Pentair FNS Plus filter, and they give you an O-ring for a Hayward filter, that's not going to go on there right. The lid's not going to set right. You're going to have a lot of water leaking everywhere. And so make sure that you get the exact O-ring for that filter tank. Now, if the tank's unmarked, you may have some issues. I've had this happen with like a stainless steel tank. I don't know if it was a Hayward Titan filter or a Pentair, you know, really old stainless steel Pentair filter, or, you know, a Hayward Titan filter. There's no way to tell without a label. And so those are kind of situations where you kind of need to know what filter it is in order to get the right O-ring. There's a few old D filters that I've had where I have no idea what kind of filter that was, but it turns out I was able to take the O-ring in and they were able to match it up, which is another trick too. If you don't know what filter it is, just take the old O-ring with you, make sure you turn everything off at the breaker, and get them to match that O-ring for you on some of these old filters that may still be out there that shouldn't be out there, but they still are. And so because you could potentially get the wrong O-ring Or maybe the O-ring is not going to, or if there's something wrong with the tank, the O-ring doesn't fit. I've had this happen to some really old filters where you change the O-ring and it starts to leak. Even though it's the right O-ring, it's because the tank kind of got warped for whatever reason and doesn't fit on there. So you never want to throw away the old O-ring until you got the new one on there and operating. So I really like just to hang the O-ring on top of the filter tank, the old O-ring on there, just to make sure that the new O-ring is fine. And then once after a week passes, I'll throw the old O-ring out. But I don't usually toss them right away because sometimes you'll notice that the other O-ring is not working. And you got to put the old one back on temporarily, even though it may have a drip leak. But you can definitely get by with that versus not having the pool running because you have the wrong O-ring. So keep the old one around because you may run into a problem like it not fitting or someone gives you the wrong O-ring for the tank and you have to use the old one. I prefer using silicone lube. You'll see it in my videos. It's the Boss silicone lube. It's a purple bottle. I prefer that over Magic Lube for a couple reasons. One, Magic Lube is really messy and Magic Lube doesn't seem to work as effectively of keeping the O-rings from wearing out as the Boss silicone lube does. You can get RV grade silicone at Walmart also and use that. And something about the silicone, I had someone tell me that was a chemist that the silicone actually massages the rubber in the O-ring and makes it last longer. I found that since I started using silicone as my primary lube, that the O-rings last a lot longer than when I was using Magic Lube. Plus, it's a lot less messy. Magic Lube can be extremely messy and sometimes hard to apply evenly. I just don't use it for filters. I haven't used it for years since I started using the silicone. And the silicone works extremely effectively. And you can get the tank lid on usually really easy with the silicone lube. The only time I would ever use Magic Lube still is with an old 2000 series filter where you have the stainless steel filter with a small little lid on top. Now that, you definitely need Magic Lube sometimes to get it back on there. Those O-rings, I would suggest changing every time you do a 2000 series filter or just about every other time you do one of those. Changing the Redline O-ring is probably the best way to get those lids back on. And if you watched my video on cleaning a 2000 series filter, I have a little trick of getting the lid back on where you'll put the lid on there, or actually you'll put the lid near the top after lubing the O-ring, turn the pool back on with the lid off, allow that filter to fill with water. Once it gets to the top and starts overflowing, quickly turn off that pump, put the lid on, press down around the edges, around the sides, and usually the pressure of the water being pulled back down into the pipes will pull that lid on. Sometimes if you're in an area where the filter is below the sea level of the pool, I like to open up the backwash valve. And again, open up the backwash valve again, and that helps pull that lid back down on there because it really pulls that water out rapidly and the lid goes on there quickly. But in a lot of cases, just by putting it on top and letting the water be sucked back down the pipe, that lid will be sucked on there, and there you go. Now, those filters are still very common here in California. I'm not sure how they are across the country, but they have a special red line O-ring. We call them red line O-rings because there's a red line inside the O-ring, and that's the only tank that has that O-ring or uses a Redline O-ring. So keep that in mind that that's a special O-ring for that tank. And you should carry a few of those on your truck if you have that filter. If you have a Stay-Rite System 3 filter and you notice the O-ring is wearing out, the O-rings on those are pretty expensive. So one trick that I do is I like to take the O-ring off and I like to flip it around or reverse it. And that seems to extend the life of the O-ring. And one time I was at a new pool build and there was a brand new System 3 filter that was leaking and I couldn't figure out what happened. But for some reason, I'm not sure why the builder took the top off, but someone took the top off the filter, and when they put it back on, they pinched the O-ring. And so for me, I just flipped it over, reversed the O-ring, and it solved the leak, and it was working fine. So with that O-ring, you can reverse it. You can try that on other O-rings also and see if that does the trick. But most of the time, replacing them is the best advice as far as getting the filter to operate without a leak. And typically, you know, if you find the filter having a drip leak after you put the lid back on, then the O-ring definitely needs to be replaced. Sometimes you can lube it up really well and it'll stop. But in most cases, any kind of drip leak means that the O-ring is not sealing the tank properly and you need to replace that O-ring with a new one. And 99% of the time when you replace that O-ring, the leak will stop. I've only had one occasion where I did that and the leak wasn't stopping and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. And this was a Pentair 4000 series filter. And for some reason, right where the O-ring sat on the bottom of the tank, there was a hairline crack and it was causing the water to leak there. But again, 99% of the time when you change the O-ring, any kind of small drip leak should stop. And so one of my biggest points of advice here would be to go around on your route and find out all the filters you have on your route before you break them down and get extra air bleeders for those filters, get extra spring bolt nut assemblies for those filters. You may want to pick up an extra clamp if you do a lot of FNS Plus or Clean and Clear Plus filters on your route, because those clamps sometimes need to be replaced. And you definitely want to have at least two O-rings for every filter type that you have on your route. That way, if you're doing two FNS Pluses that day, you would have two O-rings for that filter, and then you want to restock. I carry multiple O-rings for filters. I have probably about 8 or 10 FNS Plus, Clean and Clear Plus, Pentair O-rings on my truck, 3 or 4 Hayward ones, a few Jandy ones, which for some reason are kind of expensive too, and I do carry one Stay-Rite System 3 O-ring on my truck. They're pretty expensive. They're like $50 wholesale, and so I carry just one of them, and if I have to replace it, I'll definitely use it, but very rarely do I have to replace one of those O-rings. Of course, carry plenty of stem O-rings on your truck, because that's definitely one place where D can get back into the filter, and they're really relatively inexpensive. Just get half a dozen of those and carry them on your truck. So when you take the top manifold D filters off, replace that O-ring on the stem pipe right there. But basically, you know, the O-rings are really one of those critical factors where if you put the lid back on the filter and there's any kind of drip leak, that O-ring is compromised at that point. You can put tons of magic lube on there. You can spray tons of silicone spray on there, but it's still not going to seal properly. Just replace that O-ring. And again, make sure that they match the O-ring up perfectly, because they're not universal. One O-ring won't match one filter. And if you can't read the label, you're going to have to turn off the system and take that O-ring into the pool store so they can match it up. I've done this on occasion with, again, really old filters where I can't match them, and they're able to pull an O-ring off. You know, some old pool stores will have multiple old O-rings, and some suppliers have a bunch of them hanging. They'll take one off and just kind of eyeball it and measure it that way. And you can get pretty close by doing that if you have no idea what kind of filter it is, which definitely is common if you do enough filters out there. You're going to eventually run into a filter with no label on there and one you don't recognize, especially if it's an older, you know, CM filter or what Pentair took over. Comp pools. There's some old comp pool filters out there still, and they're not labeled anymore because they're extremely old. And I guess I should just touch on one last thing before I end here, is that if you're cleaning a fiberglass filter, and this happens a lot with the older 4000 series Pentair filters, the fiberglass on top gets ruined by the sun, and then it becomes like fiberglass splinters everywhere. So I wear long sleeve shirts. I roll them up to my elbows. When I do a 4000 series filter or an older fiberglass filter, I'll roll my sleeves down. That way I have long sleeves, and that way I won't have the fiberglass splinters in my arms all day, or actually all week in some cases. They just get lodged in there. Another thing you can do, and this was from a fiberglass company actually that reglazes fiberglass pools, he suggested just covering the lid with Saran wrap is what they do. And it's a great trick. So just get some of that Costco Saran wrap and put it all on top of that lid. And therefore, you're not going to have any of those fiberglass splinters, which are a real pain. And so be aware that the fiberglass does wear off on these lids, especially the Pentair filters. And you can get these fiberglass shards in your arm, which you don't want in your arms, of course. And if you're looking for other podcasts that I recorded in this series, you can go to my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. And on the banner, you can see the podcast icon. Click on that. That'll take you to the podcast site, and you can, of course, see the other parts of the series there, as well as other podcasts. And if you're interested in enhancing your business, definitely check out my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. A lot of great benefits for joining there. Again, you can learn more at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week. God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.